Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Well, greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy, December 13th, 2014, and my pleasure today to have on the show, again, Tom Palladino. I had him on the show about a month ago. Tom, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thanks again for the invite. Pleasure to be here.
And I'm grateful for your understanding and work and research with this field of scalar energy healing. Energy healing is a huge thing with the, you might say, the new paradigm of medicine, which is more so the energies of health rather than the chemistry of disease. Tom, you've been working with this for now about 25 years. We went into it a little bit in the last show, which is archived on the BBS Cosmic Love homepage from about a month ago, for those who wanted to listen to that. I thought today maybe we'd go into more of how you're doing what you're doing, you know, the understanding to explain more of the scalar energy, my understanding of it, and I know this is a real big step or a quantum leap for a lot of people for understanding how the principles of scalar energy are non-local. In other words, they're infinite everywhere. They're instant everywhere, interactive. They can work, you know, beyond time and space as we know it, and you can actually work with people halfway around the world with their energy coordinates that you can use with the scalar energy. And I worked with technology myself here back in early 1992, 93. There's one of the first quantum field ultramolecular devices for electrodiagnostics developed by Dr. William Nelson. I had really good experience with it. Some other people haven't. It pretty much depends on the practitioner. As my experience, if the person is not out of the box sufficiently, then they tend to bring their mindset to the technology. And since there's a field merger, you might say, between the user and practitioner, it's called black masking electrodiagnostics, whereby you, when you're holding a person doing like point diagnosis with energy frequencies in their in the meridian points of their fingers, you can actually be as you're measuring the person, you can actually be transferring energies in your own auric field. Some people that have worked with electrodiagnostics know what I'm talking about. But that was like the early technology. You've been working with a variety of different scalar technologies. Could you go into that somewhat, Tom?
Sure. Once again, it's great to be back. Well, as the good doctor said, scalar energy is non-local. And what do we mean by that? There's a term that physicists are using, quantum entanglement. And if you really take that to a degree that you can understand that the universe is interconnected, quantum entanglement, in perhaps the broadest definition of the term, would imply that every object in the universe is connected to every other object. So you really don't have point one and point two. You only have one point. And that's pertinent to scalar energy and the understanding of this dimension. Everything in the scalar energy paradigm is interconnected. So we have a holographic universe. The entire universe in this dimension is interconnected. Now, I'm not saying that about electricity and magnetism, because we obviously have a different paradigm, a different dimension. Well, what I've done with that dimension, the scalar energy dimension, is I've developed a technique in which I'm able to treat people exclusively by way of their photograph. I frequently treat people on the other side of the planet, in Australia and throughout Asia and Africa, by virtue of the fact that I have their photograph. In other words, once again, going back to our non-local concept, as Dr. Rudy has mentioned, scalar energy is non-local. Scalar energy really pervades the entire universe, and with a photograph, I can access a person or any object in the universe instantaneously. There really is no dilation. There's really no time to be considered. We're in a timeless dimension. What do I mean by that? Well, everything is in the present moment. So when we're working in a scalar energy environment, it is indeed non-local, and there is no past, there is no future, there's only the present moment. Well, this is truly a godsend. This is incredible. And this is the advantage of working in this dimension, in this force field, vis-a-vis the electromagnetic force field. Scalar energy offers such great promise and opportunity as compared to that of the electromagnetic spectrum. So in practice, what have I done? I've developed instruments, scalar energy instruments, that allow me to treat people by way of their photograph. All I need is a photograph to access to broadcast scalar energy to anybody in the world. Well, obviously, you can't do that with electrical devices. That's not the dimension that would afford such a paradigm, such a dimension. And in turn, with my scalar energy instruments, I am able to routinely disassemble, break apart pathogens. I've perfected a technique. I call it the pathogenic cleanse. I'm able to break apart germs by way of scalar energy, and I do it again exclusively by way of a photograph. It's my contention that this process that I've developed will someday be heralded as the means to cure and or prevent any pathogenic disease. I'll underscore that. This technique will someday be the means whereby we can cure or prevent thousands of pathogenic diseases.
I believe that. When I say that, because I've been in that field and I've seen miraculous works with different equipment. Just about 2 months ago, I had, and it was over two shows, I had Dr. Kathy Forte on the show, and she goes into, she has a whole, she doesn't call it scalar energy, but she works with it. It's the, she has a book called The Fractals of God, and she has equipment using crystals that you hold in your hand, and it interfaces with a computer and software and gets into the mathematics of the you might say the order of the quantum field of the order of the universe and algorithms, and it's a whole different approach to it. And this is what I've looked at over the years. I've searched out and interviewed and investigated different people working with the quantum field, and this equipment that she has also. Same principle, works on the obviously in the same quantum scalar principles, because she can get the coordinates of a person, the different way she can get the coordinates as well as the picture, and tie into their frequency coordinates, the frequency signature it's called, which is has a mathematical geometric, there's a fractal order to it, there's a harmonic order to the mathematical order. It's all, the order of the universe. It's all in, it's all in divine order. And it's amazing, getting into and tuning into the way she approaches it. And again, anyone that's into this field, I highly encourage you to listen to her lectures also. From about 2 months ago, Dr. Kathy Forte, they're archived on the webpage. And this is, I've had over the last, since 1993, when I was, had my third holistic health clinic and was working with the electrodiagnostics with this equipment by Dr. William Nelson. It's called the QXCI now. It's gone through several generations. And again, that operates, comes at this, the quantum field. It's all the quantum field. So there's different ways to approach it. I mean, in our last conversation, Tom, do you remember we talked about, and you said that prayer is scalar?
Yes, it is.
And I understand that. The deep, heartfelt, centered, and connected prayer, there's no time or space. It can connect with the person, and the power of prayer, the power of love, the power of devotion in motion, emotion that's charged with the frequency of holy compassion, of the divine mother, father, of the divine, with that resonance, there's, you know, it again, you tie into the name and the flame of a person, and you send them love, and then, you know, the power of the quantum, you know, of love in the quantum field, there is no time or space. And so that's another way to approach it. And this may sound kind of woo-woo to a lot of people, but Tom, you've worked with different types of equipment also. Could you go into that, some more of your perspective on the different equipment you worked with?
Sure. The reason I really try to gravitate towards scalar energy equipment, I have to prove my theories. I could sit around all day long and theorize, but eventually
right.
you have to prove it. It's sort of
right.
like saying I'm a great baseball player. Well, yeah. now you have to go out and you have to hit the baseball and you have to show some fielding expertise. You have to prove that you're a baseball player. Well, that's what I've done. I've proven that I'm a scalar energy researcher. I have developed instruments. I have perfected these instruments. And it's been no small wonder, if you will. It's taken years. It's taken the hand of God. I now have scalar energy instruments that can control scalar energy, that can direct it, can broadcast it. I don't think many people in the world have perfected this technique that I have. And the key, again, is to have a thorough understanding. I believe I have that thorough understanding of scalar energy. And I should, frankly, because if I'm working with it on a daily basis with instruments, then I can prove it.
For 25 years.
Exactly. I can prove it. How can I prove it? Well, I have instruments in my laboratory. So let's just highlight a few of the wonderments that I have experienced. Many times when I turn on my instruments will experience over-unity. I might start at, say, a power. Let's just represent the power as 1x, as x. Mm-hmm. Well, within 10 or 15 minutes, my scalar energy instruments are operating at 2x or 3x. Well, how can that be? I've not touched anything. I've not changed the settings. The scalar energy instrument is assimilating, is picking up energy from the atmosphere. And my instruments increase in power over time. It's called over-unity, or some people might say it's a runaway reaction. Mm-hmm. Whatever your term, that's one of the wonderments of scalar energy. Scalar energy is all around us, and if you have a finely tuned scalar energy instrument, you can actually start drawing this energy in from the ambient atmosphere, and you see this perpetual energy machine. That's what I consider scalar energy, perpetual undying energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fascinating. To put that in perspective, if you start with a gallon of gasoline, and in 15 minutes you have 2 gallons of gasoline, that'd be pretty phenomenal, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do every day in my laboratory. I always see some type of over-unity with my instruments. It's natural.
That's a real signature for quantum scalar energy because...
Yeah.
Now, since Tesla, now there's been many people that have developed, of course, it's pressed as a general rule, but free energy devices that draw from the vacuum of space, you know, the energy of the quantum field. And I've followed these over the years, many versions of it. And there's a lot of green energy technologies out there, but I remember back 15, 20 years ago, Lieutenant Colonel Tom Bearden was working with different types of scalar energy. Of course, the military is interested in terms of weapon systems. And there's a book called Fertile Lance that is by Colonel Bearden back at that time, if you can get a hold of it. I'm not sure if it's still in print. But it was about the research by the most advanced scientists of the U.S. government picking up on what the Soviet Union were doing with the scalar weaponry, which they called psychotronic weapons. And in other words, it's real technology. This isn't woo-woo. The most advanced scientists and the Skunk Works, Lockheed Martin, and other places have been working with this technology. And they have quantum computing now and other technology that was hundreds of years ahead of what we understand technology today and will be coming out in the future. It's just starting to come through a lot of people like yourself, actually in the grassroots all over the world. It's just kind of breaking out right now. And I'm really excited to have you on the show Tom, because you've been in the trenches, you've been working with it, and I'm fascinated with what you're doing, because you're not talking about military applications, you're talking about healing applications. And Bearden said from the beginning that that's one of the real advantages of it. And I thought I would mention this background, and I should really give a station break for those who came into the show later. I'm talking with Dr. Tom Palladino, scalar energy researcher who's been working with this technology for 25 years and works with it specifically with different types of chronic pathogenic illnesses. He's going to be going into that more during the show, how that works and what he's doing. I just wanted to mention, Tom, that Bearden talked about this technology. And one of the reasons that they stopped, the military, East and West, stopped working with it is because it can interact with, scalar energy can interact with nuclear stockpiles. And actually, Bearden and others have speculated and actually asserted that that's what the real story was with Chernobyl, was one of the Soviets had scalar experiments, weapon systems nearby Chernobyl, and it actually caused that meltdown at Chernobyl with some kind of a chain reaction, over unity or whatever, with the fissionable material. And Bearden himself said that the technology, if there was ever a scalar war on the planet, it could cause the space-time fabric between the Earth and the Sun to burp and create an EMP, you know, solar corona ejecta that would do roasty toasty to the Earth. So they got away from that technology. Now, did you ever heard this?
I have. It's even been said that Khrushchev, when he was in power, had an understanding of scalar energy, and he started to. He was no longer a war hawk. He was a peaceful dove, if you will. Why? Well, you're getting into the wheelwork of the universe, as Nikola Tesla said.
Yeah.
And you have fundamental control now over the universe. I'll repeat that. Scalar energy allows you to have fundamental control over matter, over time, over space. This is the essence of the universe. And you're essentially the master of the universe. I choose, obviously, to do good with this. I'm a Christian. But in the wrong hands, it would be a formidable weapon.
Well, even if you're a metaphysician, then you know that there what goes around comes around, and there's karma for putting out bad energy.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I think anyone in their right mind is called a Christian in their spiritual core, they know that there are consequences for misqualifying divine energy. And I consider it really the divine energy of the divine mother, the fabric of matter, mother as mater, as matter, the fabric of the universe, is woven with scalar energy. There are three fields of, as I understand it, the right dynamic, round magnetic, and round and radiant energy fields, which is the scalar field. And you've got the electromagnetic, and the other mag. There's three, and you mentioned them before, but that fabric is all connected, and from what I understand, and this is something I've been picking up in the last several years, there's been a lot of talk about white holes and black holes on an atomic level, on a galactic level, and the torus fields that are around the human body, the auric system of the body.
Yeah.
And around every cell in the body, there's a torus field, and every atom has this black hole, white hole. And they used to call them just black holes. Now they realize that there's a positive and a negative field, incoming and outgoing, that connects with the entire universe. I mean, our galaxy, the great central sun in our galaxy, there's a torus field around it, and it has a white hole, black hole. In other words, you might say a portal or a stargate or a gateway from between the here and now and the infinite and eternal. Like it's all connected. The universe is like woven together in this instant, everywhere, interactive fabric. And that's the understanding of scalar energy and how that works is in that field. So anyway, I'm getting on it. But
no, well put, and thank you. That's quite salient. That's the wonderment of scalar energy. That's why Dr. Rudy and I are so enamored with this energy. It's going to change the course of history. We become masters of the universe with scalar energy. And provided you have a moral compass and provided you're going to use this appropriately, we're in the driver's seat now, people. The universe is ours.
And I like to put that in the context of science and religion. Really, in spirituality, they never were separate. I mean, they were always connected. It's just that modern man, you might say, the last 100 years, it used to be natural man, you know, all over the world, people that were connected with nature, they saw the spirit, you know, the great spirit in all things. They saw how it was connected to all things. And you know, the true wise men or the shaman, you know, they were healers as well as prophets and messengers, you know, because they were somehow accessing, you know, like the three wise men, you know, who discovered the Christ. They were no dummies. They were accessing the field. And I think I mentioned in the last show, and this is an example, you know, in the ancients, they had this sense of there was, you know, they knew that some people were more connected than others, and these were the wise men, these were the magi, you know, these were the ones that connected with the field, you know, they call it the quantum field or the scalar mind of God or whatever. But at the same time, there was a sense of spirituality was the spirit that matters, or the Holy Spirit, or the Great Spirit, as the Native Americans called it, was systemic. It was throughout the field, and there was no sense of separation when you were in that mode. And of course, different masters and East and West have had their different ways of, you might say, meditating with prayer and meditation, going into that space where they were receptive to the spirit, the Great Spirit. But I mention this because modern man, you know, it's like they used to call it astrology, you know, and then how the spirit that was all through creation, there were coordinates to it and there was different aspects to it. Well, modern man took God out of the heavens and called it astronomy. And there was no more religion or spirituality. It was just science. It was like the sense of separation between science and religion, and the compartmentalization of all of our disciplines. You know, psychology was removed from spirituality, and you know there wasn't the sense of the connection that was, you might say, common sense. You know, and what's happened with the over-specialization, common sense has become uncommon. Things have become so over-specialized, and as Buckminster Fuller said, as things become more, all species, this is research he did, that all species and civilization that became extinct did so because they became over-specialized and under-adaptable to the whole system's integrity of how it was all connected. And so I'd like to think that the understanding of science on a level of quantum reality and quantum science and scalar energies will bring us back to the sense of the all connected, you know, all that is real, all that is, God, source, divine love, you know, basically the heart of creation and of the creator. And in the quantum field, I understand that is the frequency of heart coherence. It's actually a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm. When you're in joy, love, meditation, which is, of course, when I say joy, love, and I mean not meditation, but coherence, you're actually in that frequency of holy compassion, that when you're in that energy and coherent, that's when you want to bring in loved ones and send energy from that space, because it's that coherent, that is the fabric. That heart coherence is understood, as you might say, the divine feminine principle throughout all creation. It's a harmonic, a natural harmonic, and there's of course several movements in the world right now based on coherence. You know, the coherence movement, and if anyone can Google the coherence movement or the coherence project, or there's different projects that dealing with, you know, the understanding of the field of Earth. There is a frequency that deals with this harmonic connection through the heart of hearts of all of us. You know, when again the heart of one's heart is that core frequency, which is a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm. It's an actual, you know, and there's been a lot of research. Dan Winter's been on my show several times, and he has massive amounts of works in his website. Anyone that Googles Dan Winter's and heart coherence will get multiple videos on the subject. So this is, again, science that's connecting with all this scalar field and energy science that I would like to think is creating a spiritual revolution in higher consciousness. I think there's an awakening, Tom, and I'm excited about it. And your take on that would fascinate me.
There is. You spoke about Dan Winter, a really brilliant man, a great scalar energy theoretician. I've listened to him. His talks are really inspiring. Let's visit one of his points. Dan Winter has always said that the heart, the human heart, is really a perfect scalar energy generator. Mm-hmm. It really, if you will, there's an implosion of scalar energy. We're working with scalar energy people, and it is the implosion. It is inward seeking. It is not an explosion. So scalar energy acts as an implosive vortex. Dan Winter has in many ways described the human heart as a perfect scalar energy imploder, if you will. And there's great scientific merit to that, but also religious and emotional merit to that. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't contradict himself. So the human heart is really a perfect, some people might call it a torus. It's a perfect scalar energy generator. There is some type of a nesting, some type of an implosion of scalar energy in the human heart. And that's the focal point also of what? Of our emotions. So scalar energy works hand in hand. Sure, there's a wonderful mechanism. It is actually scalar energy that provides the circadian rhythm, the heartbeat itself. But we also see that scalar energy is embodied in what? In emotions are what? The embodiment of scalar energy. Mm-hmm. So we not only have this scientific principle behind the human heart, we also have an emotional concept. Yes, the human heart is the seat of emotions. Why? It's the focal point of scalar energy in the body. The human heart cannot be beat, so to speak. The human heart is a perfect scalar energy generator. That's the way God designed it. And as Dr. Rudy said, there is no separation between religion and science. They're both the same.
And what is it, the electromagnetics of the heart as compared to EEG, it's like 10,000 times more powerful field. Yeah. And it actually regulates the brain rhythms as a function of heart coherence or not, you know, depending on, you know, where a person is, you know, as you basically think is in your heart, so you are, as the expression goes. And I'm fascinated with what Dan Winter gets into of that whole, and he has, like I say, anyone that would go to Dan Winter and search him out in his videos on heart coherence, he has multiple videos on the subject, graphic animated videos that goes into it, and he explains as you explain, Tom, your explanation of the implosion, he goes into that understanding. What I call the implosion in terms of not outer directed, but it's like this inner sense that connects with the field, the coherent field throughout all creation, throughout the universe. It's all connected, and it's that field which I like to think of as the energy of the Divine Mother, which basically nurtures that loving kindness, holy compassion. It nurtures it. It feeds it. It sustains it, and you know, of course, it's like the heart of creator, the heart of creation, as far as the divine mother, the mother principle. That I understand. There's this alpha and omega energy, you know, which is divine mother father blending. And of course, in traditional religion, we hear about. The traditional religions have been mostly patriarchal over the last several thousand years. They used to be matriarchal. And I think we're coming back to a balance of the patriarchal and the matriarchal, which is really a balance like between the left brain and the right brain, or linear consciousness and nonlinear consciousness in the left and right hemispheres. And it's really this balance that we're starting to see emerge globally between East and West. You know, Western civilization is mostly left-brain dominant, and Eastern civilization is mostly right-brain dominant. And I mentioned in the last show and how, you know, in the field, the collective field of the Earth, Western civilization reads with their symbol characters from left to right, and in the East, with their calligraphy, they read from right to left because they're right-brain dominant. They read from right to left. So it's like the field of universe, it's all connected. And now we have what's going on with the heart and all this understanding of heart coherence. There's this instant everywhere interactive connection with coherence, the understanding of the science of coherence that Dan Winter explained so well, and that understanding resonates with the new understanding of the Internet. We have a global village. Yeah. It's instant, everywhere, interactive. There's no time or space. We're starting to get our act together. For those who are coming to the website from my blog, today I did three different articles on this subject of what's going on with this global transformation. This is a blog at HeartCom Network. And it struck me, and as I'm coming back to the show and talking with you, Tom, as I was writing about this, is this parallel between the outer net and the Internet, the quantum field, and the scalar dynamics of hearts connecting world round. You know, the spherical consciousness, what's happening is there's awakening to all these serious systemic problems. And the only way out is in.
Beautiful.
You know, and so it's like this connection between the instant everywhere and interactive Internet and the capabilities for using the Internet with interactive and this hardware. It's something that I talk about in my shows a lot and in my blog a lot. Hardware is the next big thing after hardware, software, and network. Heart will be it's an interactive interface for mass-to-mass telecommunications, telecom, based on heart coherence and mind congruence. But it's the heart coherence aspect of it, developed by Dan Winter. See, I've been back and forth with Dan over the years about using this heart coherence interface as part of this heartware model.
Yeah. And let me add to that. And can I prove that? Yes. Here's how I can prove that. I initially started to study scalar energy under Sarah Hieronymus. Her husband, Galen Hieronymus, was one of the pioneers of scalar energy research. And Sarah would routinely take a photograph of a star and place it inside her scalar energy instrument. And with that photograph of a star, she could make an instant connection with that star, even if that star was 100,
wow,
1,000 light years away. Wow. Well, how could that happen? Well, there we are experimenting in Georgia, in the state of Georgia. Sarah would place a photograph of a distant star inside her scalar energy instrument. The instrument would have an immediate reading, instantaneous reading. Why? Because the universe is interconnected. If you could imagine, as the good doctor just said, we have an internet that allows us to interconnect with one another here on planet Earth. Imagine an internet, people, that allows you to connect instantaneously anywhere in the universe. Well, that's what scalar energy is.
And, you know, this, it's really, we're talking about it. For a lot of people hearing this, it may sound like really crazy woo-woo, but I've been following people that have been working, with this quantum field technology in this Skunk Works, like at Lockheed Martin and other places where they do high technology and very advanced stuff underground, so to speak.
Yeah.
They've been working with this stuff for years, and it's well known for people on my show. It's people I've had on my show have told me stories. But what do I just like? The one guy I had on the show that was into astroacoustics, and he said that there's a signature, a sound, a frequency that they can pick up with every different stars. And it's the same thing. You can connect with the stars through their frequency on a scalar level, astroacoustics, it's called. And there's a frequency that actually resonates, in the body with the intelligence. I mean, different frequencies. This is one thing Einstein talked about. He says it's not philosophy. It's physics. You know, where your frequencies are in the quantum field is where you go. You know, it's what you manifest. It's a function of frequency. And, of course, there's this full range of electromagnetics with the audio and the visual, but you get into scalar, and again, there's no time or space, and that's subject of, yeah, connecting to universe. And I think we're on the cusp of that, Tom. I mean, all this technology has been suppressed 100 years because of the Internet. It's all coming out. The Internet has been like state's evidence, you might say, to you, yeah. The United States of universe. You know, it's like state's evidence. All this stuff is coming out, and people are discovering that as it was in the beginning is now and ever shall be, and it's all connected.
yes, thank you. And there is, obviously, this technology has been suppressed. Yes, there are governments around the world that have this technology. They're not releasing it to the general public, to our detriment. So it really will boil down to a grassroots level for the people to get behind this and to say, yes, this has great merit. Let's work with scalar energy. It will change the course of human history. I've said that time and time again. Yeah. Well, frankly, I believe the powers that be are intimidated by scalar energy. If the people understood what scalar energy can do, there would be no more monopolies. Scalar energy would break the monopolies of the world. Once again, people, scalar energy allows us to control physical matter. Well, what do you have with so many monopolies today? You have a control over resources. Well, if scalar energy is even better than that, if scalar energy allows you to control the resource itself, well, then there goes so many of the monopolies of the world. And that's essentially why this technology is suppressed.
Yeah, and it's understandable, and it's really kind of, I think it's 2014 has been, when I say, the critical mass turning point. It is for many people on the Internet who research this stuff. They're seeing it's coming out in all dimensions. And in the continuum, this revelation is going mainstream. It just hasn't happened yet. Time is relative. And we've got an entrenched system, and it really comes down to the economic scarcity, the paradigm of scarcity with the creation and management of scarcity for the control of the human and physical resources of the planet.
Yeah.
It maintains scarcity. It's and so the abundance of healing, the abundance of free energy, the abundance of resources, water, pure water, the abundance of clean air and water. How this technology can be used to clean up the environment. I've read articles. You know, like within about 7 years, the whole earth can be cleansed with different applications of this technology. All this creates an economics of abundance that just does not compute with the paradigm paralysis of the economics of scarcity, and so consequently, you're seeing scarcity economics. All aspects of it in a disintegration, and you also will see a reboot and a reset of a whole new economic order. And I was just reading again today that a global economic reset's in process. We're not reading about it in the mainstream media, but a mainstream. I mean, the BRICS nations and China, and the gold reserves. You know, the physical gold and an economic reset. I've had several articles on my blog about it over the last month. Global Economic Transformation, the one specifically by that title, was listed at the beginning of the article I sent out today as the previous article on economic transformation. And that economics of abundance and the whole paradigm of abundance, that there's enough to go around, and with the new technology and the scalar applications of new technology, and this, like I say, in the continuum, it's already happened. You know, the world's just catching up to the reality of what's out there.
That's correct. And that's a great point. And I've seen that so often. Scalar energy allows you to control physical matter. Now, if we can do that, there is no more scarcity. As any disciple of any economic model would, the first consideration is scarcity. What does it take to produce something? What type of capital do you have? Well, you really don't have to worry about that with scalar energy. Scalar energy is an infinite supply of energy. Secondly, it's readily available everywhere in the universe. Next, it never degrades. There's no entropy. Next, it allows you to control physical matter. Next, it has no pollution. There's no footprint. It's perfect energy. Well, if you put all this together, That's the godsend that we're looking for. An infinite supply of energy that's clean, an infinite supply of energy that never degrades, etc. Well, that in and of itself will end this economic paradigm that we're working under right now. It will liberate mankind. Skilled energy will liberate the human race.
And I think it really, you know, at the heart of it is that, you know, we hear about economic capital for development. We hear about political capital when someone gets elected and they have all this political capital. Really what we're talking about, you know, with scalar energy is coherence capital. The coherence, you know, heart coherence, as it goes mainstream and more people understand it and resonate with it and tune into it, it's a scalar principle of, you know, the coherence that the coherence capital is basically untapped. There's an abundance of it. I mean, it's unlimited abundance. And it's basically, you know, the principle in quantum reality is that, you know, the focus of your attention, you know, always affects the quantum field. And so it's just our attention on coherence, scalar frequencies, you know, scalar principles, and specifically, you know, the congruent aspect of coherence and the practical spirituality of coherence in terms of just the Holy Spirit of love and action. You know, it's like there's enough to go around if there's enough love, you know, and it's love that really basically, in this my understanding of divine love, you know, there's really holy compassion, loving kindness, that frequency and that intention focuses attention, you know, with basically love's retention for conscious ascension in that dimension. Was that too much?
No, it isn't. And now let's put that in and clarify that, and let's expand upon that. With scalar energy, everything is in a state of coherence. There is no contradiction. So the entire universe is one holographic point.
Yeah.
It all agrees with itself. And again, any type of communication is instantaneous. As we've mentioned, prayer is a emanation, a broadcast of scalar energy. Well, as we realize that prayer does not know any boundary. Space and time cannot parameterize prayer. So what is our point? If prayer can supersede any time or any spatial restraint, well, that's what scalar energy is. We're free now, people. Scalar energy is going to free mankind. There are no more constraints. It is the electromagnetic paradigm that constrains us. The electromagnetic dimension holds us back.
Electromechanical, yeah.
It really does. It's the mechanical world that I don't prefer. My druthers are to work with scalar energy exclusively. The day is coming that scalar energy will supplant all types of power generation in this world, electrical, nuclear, even solar.
I believe that.
Coal.
It's clean and simple.
It is. It's clean and simple. It's almost by default, these competing sources of energy generation are just not going to be able to compete. The people will demand it, and it will introduce an easier lifestyle. Scalar energy will catapult us forward like we've never been catapulted before.
And I'm holding the immaculate concept for that. I see it coming. I know it's already happened in the continuum. I know the economics and politics are far more complex than the science. And I have this understanding, having looked at this with innovations like this over many years, and how they hit the wall of institutions, you know, that will say, well, it causes technological disruption. What they're saying is it disrupts the monopolies.
Of course.
In other words, the way things are, the status quo, it disrupts the status quo. And then, of course, that's happening anyway. We're seeing it like a global economic reset right now, where that's going to be global political reset. It's going to be new social. You know what that means is that with social currency and social conscience, and again, social conscience, the high end of that is heart coherence. You know, social, you know, conscience, you know, basically smart with a heart, you know,
yeah.
that things will change. Things, you know, will change, and it's happening. And it's, like I say, at a grassroots thing, and there are people that will listen to the show and sometimes share with their friends. But there's also, you know, it's in the field. It's in our hearts, and it doesn't take but a few people resonating at a higher level. And this is the book Power Versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins. One of my 10 top favorite books of all time is called Power Versus Force. And he did research with behavioral kinesiology and studies with more than a million studies worldwide with individuals using this and pooling their studies. And they found that people that resonate at a higher frequency will hold the balance for the frequencies and the consciousness. You know, behaviorally, in results and studies and testings, for thousands or tens of thousands of people. So it's not it's not quantity; it's really quality.
That's right.
That's
leadership. Absolutely.
That's leadership.
Yeah, that's leadership. That's why, and just the rule of the universe: some people were made to lead, and some people were made to follow. Well, I don't know what your gifts are, but. If you really have an appreciation of prayer and self-confidence and moral rectitude, you're a leader. You're a leader, and you will be the beacon that will attract others.
And it's that, there's a lot of a big part of that is just the intentions, the intention to be, you might say, I call it God-free, or just, you know, basically free in the energy of love, divine love, and of course, the higher the standard of love, the greater the results. The higher the standard of God, the greater the results. The higher the standard of frequency and scalar connection and coherence, the greater the results. Because again, in the quantum field, where you focus your attention is that's what you manifest. And it's like an instant manifestation, and that's, you know, quantum reality and quantum science. That's the real. You know, that was, you know, and that was the most profound statement that Einstein made, which was. He never got into, you know, he kind of butchered the scalar dimensions of the unified field, but he really got into this understanding, and he referenced this understanding of that it's not a matter of philosophy, it's the physics, that the frequency that you resonate with is at the level at which you'll manifest.
Yeah. Einstein was, in his own right, he understood the universe in a certain sense, but his shortfall was that he did not understand that there was two energies. To the contrary, Nikola Tesla embraced that concept.
He did, yeah.
Tesla understood that there was the electromagnetic spectrum as well as the scalar energy spectrum. And Tesla then, if you afford yourself to the notion that scalar energy exists, you have to consider ether, because ether is the medium that makes scalar energy possible. Well, Einstein had a problem with the concept of ether. So what's my point? If you look at the greatest scientific minds and you look at the greatest achievements, men like Nikola Tesla was not only a great theoretician, but he was a great practitioner. Tesla invented so many instruments. And that's the key, doctor. That's what I'm looking for. If you can invent and control a scalar energy instrument, then you understand this energy, then you have a firmer grasp of this. Sadly, Einstein was not an inventor, and he never got to prove his theories. To the contrary, Nikola Tesla was quite an inventor, and Tesla proved his theories.
He proved his theories, yeah.
Yes, and that's why I would say that Tesla is far more successful and a more profound thinker than that of Einstein.
And that concept that you mentioned of ether.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes called the fifth principle. You know, they refer to the pyramid and the capstone, which is like when a person's sitting in meditation with their legs crossed, you can take a pyramid coming down over their body. And the concept of ether, there's the fire, air, water, and earth, which is the four sides of the pyramid of self, and civilization. You can get into government, education, healthcare, and the economy, the four sides of the, you know, the pyramid of civilization. You know, the four archetypes that Jung talked about, you know, basically the four winds that the Native Americans talked about. There's these four sides. But the ether, the fifth principle, you know, the capstone, that's the principle of in the scalar quantum field of heart coherence and God and mind congruence, God vision, the concept of God vision, and effective sensory perception, ESP. There's no time or space. There's nothing extra about it. When you've got effective sensory perception, there's nothing extra about it. You know, it's just like you just know. And ether, that concept, it's been left out of education. It's been left out of modern psychology. Jung, he didn't talk about ether that much. He talked about the four sides, you know, the four archetypes. And again, these are through all ancient and modern civilizations, you know, these archetypal patterns. This is the great contribution that Jung made. You know, whether you're talking about Tibetan sand paintings or Hopi sand paintings, or, you know, religious ritual structures, east and west, there's these archetypal principles of these, the fire, air, water, earth. But ether, the center principle, you know, in the center of those mandalas that they do and the yantras that they do in the east, you know, the center of it is that fifth principle. It's in looking down on the pyramid, it's the point in the center, you know, where they cross-references the four sides. You might say it's the spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. It is, you know, it's the capstone vision, you know, of coherent, congruent vision that really is, call it Christhood, call it effective sensory perception, call it the higher self, the real self, you know, the mediator between the lower self and the God self, you know, the higher self, the Christ self. There's a lot of different, you know, metaphors for it, and exquisite metaphors, of course, how you get to the whole truth. But at the same time, you know, tying in the scalar energy to it and this ether concept, it's relevant. I mean, it's, you know, the relations of relevance and ultimate reverence, the holy whole, how it's all connected.
Yes,
getting carried away again.
No, that's wonderful, and I love listening to you. Let's explain some concepts that some people might have difficulty with. Well, after our talk today, they're not difficult. Telepathy, for instance.
Yeah. Yep.
People experience telepathy. Some people call it women's intuition. Some people call it a hunch. Some people say that they can read the thoughts of another. Okay, I believe that. And what is the animating principle? Scalar energy.
Yep.
Scalar energy is thought. Telepathy is a function of scalar energy. So any higher process, consciousness, we hear the term universal consciousness. What is that? That's the scalar energy of the universe. Again, scalar energy is intelligent energy. It's not just a gigantic physical universe. No, to the contrary, intelligence precedes creation. We are living in that perfect state if we're living in scalar energy, in which it's all knowingness, it's interconnectedness, it's bliss. This is where we're going. We're getting away from the electromagnetic paradigm, which in my estimation, I call it dirty energy, imperfect energy. I'd much rather live in a scalar energy world than in an electromagnetic world. That's the promise, perfection. Scalar energy will bring about perfection for mankind.
You know, I sometimes like to think that the second coming of Christ Mass, Christmas,
yes,
Christ Mass consciousness, the second coming is basically Atlantis rising, because Atlantis, they use scalar energy technologies to power everything, and I mean, it was far, far more advanced and different from what I understand. And this is from the Edgar Cayce readings. He gets into the crystal technologies they use for power, for healing, and of course it was the scalar energy grid and the scalar energy system that they were utilizing. And I sometimes think that this is, you know, the energy of the Divine Mother rising to balance, you know, the patriarchal imbalances. You know, we never used to hear about Mother God, and it was always Father God, Father in Heaven. Well, I think we're going to be hearing more about the Divine Father, Mother, God concept and the concept of balance. It's like the balance of the left brain and right brain. You've got left brain dominant Western civilization that's coming into balance with this whole Eastern right hemisphere, right brain dominant civilization, and they've got the gold. They've got the huge, massive gold reserves that this new economic reset that's going on. They're contributing in that, and what they're requiring with that is with that reset, from what I understand, there's multiple websites talking about this now, specifically the Thrive Movement Foster Gamble has been discussing this at length and what's going on in the story about this economic reset of the whole world right now. But those who have the gold that are bailing out the Western debt-based economies, they're saying that we've got to have balance. We've got to have, you know, homeostasis and healing in our systems with checks and balances. That is where East meets West. And it's like the left brain and the right brain, are switching all the time, but it takes the upper brain, you know, the third eye chakra, to provide the vision to whether we're supposed to, you know, cohere with love or thrust with power. I mean, so there's this dynamic going on East and West and within us, and it's all connected. And I think I think 2014, I think in history they're going to look back. This was the year when the big shift, you know, went mainstream. You know, shift happens.
Yes, thank you. Shift, the shift is coming about. God bless. Thank you so much. And let's review, and we'll make this quick. How is it that the powers of be that have manipulated us? It's been by deception. I mean, we could pinpoint the Illuminati. How could they have controlled the world? They deceived us. But now that deception is over.
Yep.
People are starting to understand. Once a person has the light, once a person possesses the truth, you can't deceive them anymore, and the game is over.
Yep.
What's our point today? The powers that be, call it the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers, or whatever old paradigm, once we see through the deception, once we uncover that ruse, it's all over.
There's no going back. There's no going back to stupid.
Exactly. Exactly.
And this is what's happening right now globally with the internet. There's just too many people that know better. And there's just like the disruption at this point is more so at the cause of statism, you know, is the cause of paradigm paralysis. Old paradigm, stuck. You know, and this is my understanding of sin, S-I-N, is stuck in negativity. And there's this paradigm paralysis, and then there's a paradigm shift that's challenging it, and there's a little bit of chaos out there because a lot of people are waking up, as the scripture says, to eternal contempt rather than salvation. But, you know, it's like when your person really makes the shift fully, they realize, number one, it's all in divine order.
Yes.
You know, there's a scalar order, there's a scalar order, you know, there's basically a divine order, fractal order of the holographic universe. It's all in divine order. And number two, the order follows the coherence, the frequency of holy compassion, the fabric of the divine fabric of the universe. I'll let you make a summary statement here. We've got a few minutes left.
Okay. Let's bring this down to square one. Everybody is capable of scalar energy. Every time you pray or you think or you have an emotion, that is a broadcast of scalar energy. This is what the good doctor and I want to impart today. Be a part of this change. We are about to see a tremendous change in the world. Scalar energy is that change that is coming.
Now, Tom, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to have to do a wrap. We're at the end of our time. So to everyone, thank you for listening. Keep the faith. See the good and make it so. God bless everyone. God bless you, Tom. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.